Thank you for the opportunity that we have to gather together in your house. We just thank you for John and his willingness to bring your message this morning. And I ask that you would just give him the words to say, that they are words that are from you, that he wouldn't get himself in the way, that your message would be clear. We just thank you for his willingness. We thank you for his growth. As he seeks to do your will in his life. We just thank you for what you're going to do. We thank you for what you're going to speak to us this morning. Thank you. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thanks, sir.
All right. Morning, everyone. All right. It is New Year's Eve, and so I do have a message here that's timely. So we want to look this morning at kingdom goals. So we're going to look specifically at New Year's resolutions and how we can take a look at that from God's angle and for his kingdom. If I can find my, here we go. Yes. All right. So New Year's, it's one of my favorite holidays, actually. And, it's not a very popular one. You got Christmas or birthday. That's actually my personal favorite, is birthday. It's my favorite holiday. But New Year's is right up there for me. It's one that I really like because it gives us a chance to restart and to look at things fresh. It gives us a chance to reflect on what's happened over the past year and see what kind of changes we can make moving forward. And I really like that aspect of it, that just because whatever we've been doing doesn't mean we have to be stuck there. It gives us that opportunity to hit that reset button, which is for some reason harder to do throughout the year. It's just this is the chance that we have for it. And so New Year's resolutions, right? Anybody else? I'm big on them. I like, and it goes beyond resolutions for me. It's really more of a way of setting goals for my next year. And I have four categories. I'm very organized, so I like to set 12 goals. I've got 3 physical, 3 mental, 3 financial, and 3 spiritual. I've got them all divided out, and I've had this done since like November because I was so excited about it. So I think it's good to have that, right? To have things that you're working towards. And I'm sure lots of people do goals and resolutions, but one aspect that does get missed sometimes is including God in those resolutions, in those goals. So are we looking at it from an angle of, okay, if we're building God's kingdom, like we've been singing about and talking about already this morning, if we're building God's kingdom, what are some of those goals that are going to get us there? And so what I want to take a look at today is 3 ways in approaching setting those goals that are in line with promoting the kingdom of God and God's will in your life specifically. And I do want to start by saying that when we look at these goals, we want to make sure that it is being kingdom specific, right? And so a common goal that we all have, and there's, don't hear what I'm not saying. These are great goals. Pray more, or read your Bible every day. Those are awesome goals. And those are great, and there's nothing wrong with that. But I do think that we need to have goals that are specifically about engaging others with the gospel of Jesus Christ. And so praying, reading your Bible, that builds your spiritual growth, But that doesn't necessarily take on the directly advancing the kingdom of God. And I think that's a great question to ask as you look at any goal that you're trying to set there and say, hey, is this a good kingdom-minded goal? Well, how is this thing, how is this goal, task, purpose, how is this directly advancing the kingdom of God? And I really do believe that that's a great question that you can expand not just to what we're talking about today, but to really all aspects of your life. Let's look at the first verse today, one we're all familiar with, is Matthew 28, 19 through 20, the Great Commission. It says, "Go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded, and behold, I am with you always to the end of the age." That verse, obviously something we're very familiar with here at the Christian Missionary Alliance. I think of three main commands in there, right? We've got go, we've got make disciples, and we've got baptize. And those are all action words, right? And not just action words about what we should be doing ourselves, but they're action words about the external factors, right? External kingdom motivators. What Jesus doesn't say here is stay in your house, study your Bible, and you just live your best life. He doesn't tell us that. He does tell us specifically to go, to make disciples and baptize them in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And so that brings me to my first point here, which is that Christianity, it's a group effort. This is something that we're doing together. It's not something we're doing by ourselves. And I know this topic, really, this would be not something you'd typically think about with goal setting. You know, go, oh, it's a group effort. We're goal setting. Those are not usually things we do together, right? You set the goals on your own, and you are working as a group is what my point is. And I think this is important because of the way that the kingdom of God is designed. And it is different from the kingdom of man, right? In man's kingdom, we would say, yeah, you got to build yourself up. You got to make yourself the best. And God's saying, hey, we should be doing that together. I can think of all kinds of, there's all kinds of phrases out there, right, about how the self is important, right? You gotta look out for number one, and if you ain't first, you're last, and treat yourself, and you do you. Those are all themes that we see the world telling us about how we should be behaving to be successful. And that's just not a reality in God's kingdom. It's that upside-down kingdom where it's the other way around, right? If you're last, then you are first. And so I see two different types of teams, I think, in general. There's two different types of teams out there. And in high school, I was a part of both of these types of teams. So I got a little bit of insight on each one of these. And they work a little bit differently, but they're both important to working together. The first type of team, I would say, is like the cross-country team that I was on. So if you're on cross-country, it's a team, but really there's a lot more emphasis on the individual. It's only a team because you got to have everyone's scores together. And if one person fails, if one person's not great, the team can really still win easily without that person. I wasn't the worst person, but I was usually second to last place. So I was the person, you know, kind of dragging the team down. And my team won first place all the time. And it didn't matter if I was the second to last person to finish because the rest of the team was so awesome. And that training aspect in cross country, yeah, we did it together. We all ran at the same time and went to the weight room at the same time. But really, that's done individually. And all of that training could be done individually. And so to some degree, This is one aspect of the Christian team effort, right? Is because we do need to be working on our own spiritual growth. And we can work on our own spiritual growth in proximity to each other, just like we would be training if we're cross country, right? We're all doing our own thing, but we're doing it near each other. The key here is that we're not stopping there. That's just one aspect of the team. Then we need to make sure that we're including the other type of team. If we look at 1 Corinthians 12, verses 12 through 14, "For just as the body is one and has many members, all the members of the body, though many, are one body, and so it is with Christ. For in one Spirit we were all baptized into one body, Jews or Greeks, slaves or free, and all were made to drink of one Spirit. For the body does not consist of one member, but of many." And that's the other type of group or team that I was in, was the marching band. And in marching band, there's a lot more emphasis on that group aspect of it. Whenever you're judged, it is together, as a group, as a whole unit. If one person is really awesome and everyone else is not as awesome, you're not going to win that way. And if one person is really bad and everyone else is good, you're still not going to win that way either. Everyone has to work together. And just like the verse we read, everyone has a different part to play. The training itself, unlike where you can, you know, train in close proximity to one another or on your own, you can't do that. You might be able to practice your music on your own, but in marching band, you got everybody moving together, all the steps. It's very hard to practice those steps if you're by yourself. You need to know where everyone else is so that you're all moving together as one unit. And I think that's a really great analogy for how we should be working together as the church, is that we all need to be moving towards these same kingdom goals. What are those, right? You say, work together. Well, what are some examples of how are we working together? There's really two main things that we're doing when we talk about external kingdom motivators, and that would be evangelism and discipleship. And so I'm not going to dig into those, but those are the two things that if you don't have a goal or a resolution that's focused around that evangelism and discipleship, it's going to be very hard to say that you have kingdom-focused goals. Those are the ways that we are sharing God with others. Those are the ways that we are advancing the kingdom of God. And specifically, as I say, be a team, those should be things we're doing together, right? So you don't need to set that goal and say, oh, this is my burden. I am the only one who's working towards this. You have other people that you are close with or should, right, in a discipleship relationship. You hopefully have somebody that you're discipling or somebody that's discipling you. And so that's a way to work together as a team. And then in an evangelism setting where you're reaching out, you're hopefully in a situation, work, right, school, any kind of, parent-teacher conference. There's plenty of opportunities. You're out there. And so you have those opportunities to share Jesus. And even if that's just you, who's your team? Who has your back? Who's praying for you in those circumstances? Who are you letting know, hey, this is what I'm going to be doing today, and, just pray for some opportunities. We just heard from most of you, right, some really great things that God is doing in your lives. And so make sure that you have a team of people to support you. And I venture to say, right, everybody here, you could ask anyone here to pray for you in those situations. I would be more than happy to. As we look at the second piece, it's going to be that growth is required. You'll never reach a goal you do not set. Which, I mean, that sounds more like the motivational speaker. You'll never reach a goal you don't set, rather than maybe the word of God. But I did find in Proverbs some inspiration for this never reaching a goal you do not set. So look at Proverbs chapter 16, verse 9. The heart of man plans his ways, but the Lord establishes his steps. And so we're not saying that you have to have it all figured out, right? The heart of man plans his way. So you got a plan, you got something formulated, right? You should have an idea of where or what God is calling you to, but you don't need to have all those details figured out. That's where the Lord is establishing our steps. God will guide you as you go down that path. And as you are prayerfully considering what he has planned for you, doors just start opening and closing for you. Proverbs 19:21 goes right along with this. Many are the plans in the mind of a man, but it is the purpose of the Lord that will stand. Same thing here. By continuing to seek God and his will, he'll guide you on the path for his kingdom. God has the ultimate authority in our lives, and he requires that his kingdom be number one. He is the top priority. And there's also a level of trust that's involved here that we can recognize the limitations of our own understanding and trust that God has that plan, and if we are seeking him, he's going to make that happen. Many are the plans in the mind of a man, but the purpose of the Lord that will stand. So we should be continuing to seek God and his will. That way he can guide that path for us. I say, okay, well, same thing. How are we doing this? How are we seeking? Obviously, the number one way would be prayer, right? Talking to God, spending time with him. Just like any relationship, if you want to know someone better, know what they want better, then you need to be spending time with that person. We just finished up Christmas, and we had to pick out Christmas gifts for people, and so I got people in Lexi's family that I don't know them all so well. I have no idea. I have no idea what they want. What would be a good gift idea for them? Because I don't know them. I haven't spent enough time with them. And same, you know, vice versa. Members of my family that she has no idea, same reason, just haven't spent enough time together. And so if we want to know what God's will is or what his purpose is for our life, there's not like a ultimate secret key. It's just spend time with him. That's it. And as you spend time with him on that journey through prayer, and I guess the other piece, opportune time to plug fasting, that would be my other piece of this, is through prayer and fasting, you would be able to discern what God's purpose, plan, will is for you. This past year, one of my 2023 goals was fasting. I said I want to fast at least once a month, that I would take the opportunity to do that. And it went well. That was a successful goal. I reached that one. And it was really eye-opening how that does. You get the chance to focus in and to spend that extra time in prayer. And even the way that your body reacts to not having food, you feel like that, well, that's a bigger distraction. I'm just going to be hungry all the time. And you know, maybe for the first like day that is true, but you gotta, if you can make it more than a day, absolutely, things just start opening up and your concentration becomes more focused. And the you know, especially I love food, so the trivial concerns of like, oh, what am I gonna have for lunch, or sitting at work, what am I gonna make tonight for dinner? Those things disappear, and it just leaves more room to think about the things of God. And I think that's what we should be doing here, is focusing on the things of God, on that kingdom mindset, which would be my third point. And really, I think this is the key to the entire process, is that we have to have a kingdom mindset. So are we making decisions based on what will build God's kingdom, or decisions based on what will build our kingdom. And I know that's something that Bruce has definitely mentioned before, right? Is that whatever we're doing, we want to make sure that it is something that is not just pleasing to God, but we want to make sure those are things that are building up God's kingdom and not just focused on our own kingdom. Something that we've definitely talked about before is how the good things of life can prevent us from the great things that God has planned for us. They get in the way. And we're focused on really good things like taking care of our families and even helping other people. There's all kinds of things that are important to life. But what we miss is if we don't take a look at it from an eternal perspective, right? There's things that are important here in life, and they're great, right? You can't survive without them, except that this life isn't forever. It's going to pass away. And then when we get to eternity, you think, oh, man, I had all kinds of stuff I wanted to do, but these life things were really important. And so I got to those first, and I just never got around to these eternal things. And that's backwards, right? We got to be working on those eternal things. And then if God loves us, which he does, right, then he'll make sure those other things fall into line if we are putting his kingdom first. Something that happens very often is the enemy getting in the way with those, you know, good things or just things to keep us busy. One of my favorite books is Screwtape Letters by C.S. Lewis. I just think it's so cleverly written, the way that he has this, you know, upper demon talking to his nephew, lower demon, and they just discuss about how they're going to distract humans and lead them away from God. And here's a quote from that specific, I'll read it to you. Satan wins if he can keep us distracted with things of this world. Indeed, the safest road to hell is the gradual one, the gentle slope, soft underfoot, without sudden turnings, without milestones, without signposts. It's the easy way, right? He doesn't need to cause big things to happen. He doesn't need us to be, you know, making huge sins and doing things that are what we would consider bad, right? He just needs us to not do things that are focused on God's kingdom. That's it. It's a much easier path, actually. Why would he spend all that effort to try to get us to do bad things when he just has to distract us? In this section, Screwtape is advising Wormwood to keep us distracted with those trivial concerns. Busyness. It's a top one that he recommends. Preoccupation with worldly concerns. Those are the ways that we can become distracted and forget that, oh, hey, like, these are great things. These aren't bad things, but eternity is what's going to matter. When it comes to the end, it's not going to matter what we did here on this earth. It's going to matter what we did for God here on this earth. Satan, you know, wants to keep us focused on other things so that we miss out. And we do see that in Scripture as well. We'll look at a few verses here that focus on that. 2 Corinthians 2:11, so that we would not be outwitted by Satan, we are not ignorant of his designs. Important word in there. We need to know that this is his plan, right? We can't just ignore it and pretend like, oh, yeah, Satan doesn't care about me. I'm not going to do anything good. We need to realize that he is actively trying to distract us. And then Ephesians 6:11, put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the schemes of the devil. So we recognize he's there, and how do you stand against that? Putting on the whole armor of God, which again we won't get into, but you can read Ephesians 6 and it'll tell you what the armor of God is specifically. As well, 1 Peter 5:8 This is another, you know, how are we going to do it? Be sober-minded, be watchful. Your adversary, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion seeking someone to devour. So we need to be aware that Satan is out there, and we need to be aware that he doesn't have to cause terrible things to happen to us. He doesn't have to do anything outside of distract us. That's it. That's all he needs to do to win. So as we are keeping in mind that kingdom mindset, right, as we look towards how are we going to make a difference for God's kingdom, those concerns are still there, right? We still have to work. We still have to spend time with our family. We still have to do all kinds of things that, like I said before, they're good things. They're not bad things. And that question that I posed earlier, right? So when you look at those things, you say, is this something that's advancing God's kingdom? And how about we make it so that is something that's advancing God's kingdom, right? You spend time with my family? Okay, well, we could read a book, we could watch a movie, or maybe we read a Bible story. Maybe we take the lesson from that, and that's how, you know, in just discipling our own children. So there's opportunities to still be doing what we have to do, the needs of our daily lives, and take those from a kingdom mindset. I did already mention it, but I want to reference Matthew 7:11. If you then, who are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father who is in heaven give good things to those who ask him? So if we are trusting that God has our best in his plans, we pursue him with that kingdom mindset, and the rest of that stuff is going to fall into place for us. And I realize that, I mean, in my opinion, having a kingdom mindset is one of the most difficult things to do in our Christian walk, because it's a complete change of the way that you think about things, the way that you make decisions, and it's completely different how anyone else around you probably does it. You don't have a lot of examples out there, and you especially don't have any examples from the world as far as what should you be doing. I mean, self-help, motivational books, there's a million of them out there. And you're not going to find very many of them that are going to say, well, if you just focus on God instead of yourself, then you'll get ahead. There's not very many people saying that. So it does take a lot of effort for us to be able to change that mindset. And again, changing that mindset is really less about our effort and more about spending time with God. And that's how it's going to change. It's going to be an internal change, a heart change, something that the Holy Spirit is going to bring on us, not something that we're going to be able to do ourself, not something that a motivational speaker or a self-help book is going to be able to do. It's going to be something that we are going to have to allow God to make that change inside of us. I want to read you a quote from one of my favorite people, I guess, Eric Little. He's an Olympic gold medalist a long time ago, but he is famous for choosing not to do his race, right? He's a 100-meter racer, and that race was on Sunday, and he said, I'm not going to race on Sunday. And so he does the 400 instead, which, you know, might not seem like a huge difference, except in the Olympics, that is a huge difference to say, this is the one that I haven't practiced for a year. I'm going to do that one. And he ends up winning that one anyways, right? So he chooses in that situation, he chooses God, and that he's going to pursue the things of God first and not run the race that's on Sunday, and God blesses him anyways, and he wins the race he's not even prepared for. So here's the quote from him. It has been a wonderful experience to compete in the Olympic Games and to bring home a gold medal. But since I have been a young lad, I have had my eyes on a different prize. You see, each one of us is in a greater race than any I have run in Paris. And this race ends when God gives out the medals. And that's the kind of mindset that we need to have, is not that there's not good things happening here on earth, but there's great things happening in heaven. And that needs to be the goal. That kingdom mindset is what's going to allow us to unlock what God has planned for us. So our takeaways for the day, we want to make sure that we are setting goals that are incorporating others into our spiritual life. We want to make sure that we are allowing the time and space to be able to go closer to God so that we can know His plans for us better. And we need to make decisions in life based on what will further the kingdom of God versus our own kingdom. Let's pray. Lord, I thank you for what you've done for us, sending your Son to die on the cross to take our sins, for this life-changing opportunity. I thank you for the season we just went through celebrating the birth of your Son. And I thank you for this next holiday we're upon, New Year's. I think this is your opportunity for us to make those changes in our life. So I just pray, Lord, as we all leave here today and go about any New Year's Eve celebrations, that if we haven't already, that'd be something we reflect on internally, and something we pray about, something we ask the Holy Spirit to guide us in, is what do you have planned for us in 2024? And what kind of kingdom-based goals do you want to see us reach in our lives? Pray for the guidance of the Holy Spirit in that, Lord, that you would impress things on our hearts of what you have planned for us, of what you have planned for your kingdom, and allow us to meet you there, to join you in those kingdom plans, and to go forth this year with a kingdom-focused mindset. Amen. Thank you, guys. You all have a